For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Keeping it local.
This is the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sam Crenshaw, Chris Parker, Don Jurowski, other side of the glass. Into the 11 o'clock hour on this Friday night. So glad you have been with us as we've been winding down and seeing most of the games are now gone final. Some scores to pass along to you before we get to our guest. We got Dutchtown beating Lovejoy 21-20. That is a final now. Noonan over Northgate, 35-14. Final in that one. Decatur's a winner over Chamblee, 43-7. A winner in that game. Dunwoody rallied and came from behind and beat Tri-Cities. Tri-Cities beat them by one. Sorry, I got that
Tri-Cities score with the win.
Yep, 21-20.
Big win for Tri-Cities.
It is a big win for Tri-Cities. Woodward Academy, this is a tight ball game. Them in Shiloh. Woodward Academy pulls away for a 21-6 win over Shiloh.
Yeah, Woodward needed that. Yep. They really played tough schedule early in the year, but kind of get off the rails if you don't start winning. And they needed that win. After Darlington started the game down 13-0, Darlington comes back to upset Whitfield Academy 27-20. Interception at the goal line on the last play of the game to seal it. My man Joey Burton giving me the heads up on that one. Interception on the goal line on the last play of the game to seal it.
Man.
That's when it's a fun game.
It is. When you
well,
get
it's,
defense.
It's only fun if you're on the good side.
If you're on that side, the good side of it. Mount Bethel Academy, 20-13 winners over Cross Keys. Mays beats Pace. Mays 13, Pace Academy 3. Final score.
It's a low-scoring one still, though.
Low-scoring ball game, but that's how this one's in. So Noraville over Cahullo Creek, 28-7.
The Creek did not rise tonight. Let me tell you a team that's going to just be all over coming up. Fannin County.
Okay.
You know, I love the North Georgia team, Sam. So Fannin County is 5-0, I think, or 4-0 or 5-0, one or the other. I can't remember, but they're undefeated, and I don't know who's going to beat them.
Really?
Yeah, they're
okay.
good.
Okay.
So if they can keep playing well, Chad Cheatham is a great job up there. I mean, I saw them a little bit in a scrimmage. I mean, these guys, they beat Rabun County, you know, earlier in the year. So, I mean, they've been tested a little bit too. Fannin County with the win tonight, 42-0 over Coosa.
Okay, okay. And Spalding gets a win over Trinity Christian, 26-10, Coach Davis. I'm thinking they're going to be getting them. I think that's the second win of the season for them.
That's a good win for them. You know, a tough situation there now.
Very good. I mean, Long County, you mentioned them last week. You mentioned Long County.
I love Long County.
And they were winners over Liberty County tonight, 22-14.
That makes them what, 4-0?
Yes.
4-0?
Yes, they are.
Let me tell you something, Sam.
Way down there.
I mean, yeah, if those of you that get tired of me talking about Long County, I'm going to tell you why I love this. I'm not from Long County. I don't have any ties to Long County. Not like Don with Stevenson or Sam with Carrollton. And like, I would never have any bias like mine with Alabama. But
but yeah.
Long County,
whoa,
before Coach Feaster got there, okay, 4 years ago, this is a true story, Sam. They had hardly ever even won four games. Now they won 4-0.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it ain't as simple as like first time they've been 4-0 since. First time ever.
Man.
Ever. They've been playing football since 1984. Yeah.
4-0.
4-0. I mean, it's just a big deal, guy. I'm not trying to overstate. Like, this is a place that was winning like on average one game a year for like 30 years when he got there. And whoa, now he's won the last 4 years. He was 5-5 his first year. 6-4 the next year, 6-4 the next year. Now 4-0, these are the best teams in the school's history. They've only been to the playoffs three times in the school's history, and it was the last 3 years.
Man.
Okay, wow. So doing an awesome job in there, and they run that power T.
Mm-hmm.
Three running backs line up like a T. I mean, you're going to have to look. I mean, we're going to have to get some folks on here. Earlier, we were on the end of Dukes and Bell, and they were talking about Barbara Dooley being on the show. A great, I mean, an unbelievable lady is on the show and a great guest. Ms. Dooley time was the power T now.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Like when she was young.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about way back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Coach Dooley.
Yeah. You know, like,
he was past the power T.
Right.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
Like this was before Coach Dooley was coaching. Like maybe when Coach Dooley was playing.
Yeah.
That's what people were running. And that's what Long County runs. And they're 4-0.
Man, people come out, them guys, they come to the line, people are like, what in the world?
Yeah, no receivers. No,
oh, my goodness.
Them cornerbacks with them gloves on,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah,
they got their cute little 2 mouthpieces and some gloves and got the knee pads way jacked up. You know, they want to go out there and cover somebody like Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
there ain't nobody covering that power T. You better get in that box and tackle somebody, baby.
A different brand of ball. Speaking of different brand of ball, there's a guy that Jeff Sintel had a chance to go and get a look at tonight, and always great to catch up with him from Dog Nation. He joins us now. Jeff, welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. Where were you at tonight?
Fellas, man, first of all, I got to get on Coach Parker, the power team, man. What did that playbook get delivered by Moses on 2 tablets, man?
I'm telling you, man. I said that was even before Coach Dooley was coaching. That was just when he was just the player Dooley. Like, that's way back then. And Long County is doing it. I don't know if you've ever seen Long County play, Jeff, but it's something, man. No receivers, yeah. 3 backs, come get some every play.
That's not X's and O's. That's hieroglyphics in that playbook, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, for sure, for sure. Where were you tonight?
Tim, I was at in Roswell, man. I saw Fellowship Christian, the number 4 team, in, you know, the new private school bracket A3A, and they were hosting number 1 Savannah Christian. And let me just say the boys from Savannah are rolling back to Chatham County pretty happy. They kind of coasted 28-7. Could have been a little worse. It was pretty funny, man. Savannah Christian up 7-0, they do a methodical drive, and then all of a sudden they kick the ball off probably to one of their 2 or 3 best players on Fellowship's team. He takes the kickoff back for a touchdown, and that was basically all the offense for the Paladins tonight, of course. I'm going to show all my cards here. I was there to see 2 5-stars on the defensive line for Savannah Christian. 5-star Elijah Griffin, number 1 defensive tackle in the country, and then 5-star sophomore LaDainian Guyton, number 1 edge in the country, top 5 player already in 2027, and that is a loaded football team on the defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not what you want to see when you're an offensive tackle, Sam.
No.
Okay.
No.
You don't want Jeff Sintel coming to your game. Okay. When that's the case. My goodness. And they put on the number 0, I saw, Jeff. And what happens when you put on the 0?
I tell you what, you find your best athlete, you get him in that 0. That's like an R-rated movie right there, man, for an offensive coordinator when your edge guy. Especially with Halloween coming up. Now get this, Coach Parker. I know you may have did this back in the day. This is probably in your playbook. They got some new uniforms from Nike. They just got them in this week, right? And, like, they finally had a 0 for the first time, I believe, in Savannah Christian football history. And, of course, the best player in the sophomore class, perhaps, in the country, finds his way into wearing the number 0. Now, get this. This is pretty cool stuff. His home number is going to still remain number 18. But when he gets on the road and he's a road warrior, he's going to wear the number 0 in the white jersey. Can you believe that, Coach?
Listen, if they're the number 1 edge player in the country, which I didn't have an experience coaching, I'm probably going to break any of those rules I'd have had about jerseys. That dude could wear whatever number he wants. But that number 0, it gets to give you at least a couple inches and about 20 pounds. I'm telling you, you just look bigger when you got those small numbers on the D lineman. That was a move. I love the D lineman with the small numbers, like 0, 1, 2.
Yeah.
I mean, they just look big.
Yeah.
It's just something about them. And
5.
And I'm watching Jeff's video of some of this stuff, and, I mean, I mean, this guy's good, man.
Yeah, he moves.
He's good.
He can move.
And the guys that he's playing, and this was interesting, Jeff, and I know you can test it. The guys he was going against are not bad. But these great guys make everybody look bad, right? I mean, that's what they do. And Fellowship's got a great football team. That's a well-coached, really good football team. And they, I mean, the clips I saw, they didn't have much of an answer for those guys.
I mean, I feel confident in saying this, Coach and Chris and Sam. I'm pretty sure Fellowship Christian is the only school in the state of Georgia that has a former SEC defensive coordinator in John Thompson as their head coach. I think I feel pretty safe in saying
absolutely.
That.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And Coach Thompson is, I mean, he's awesome. He's one of the best.
He is.
And we know what Coach Thompson will tell you. He's a great coach. The team with the better players is going to have a little advantage.
That's what it is.
And, you know, there's some good players out there. How do these guys stack up against the best you've seen, Jeff? And I know hyperbole question, but really, like, yeah. I mean, are these some of the guys, like, toward the top of the list of what you see for the edge guy being young and then the senior?
Chris, let me tell you this. I'll say this right now about the Guyton kid. I'm going to give you inside kind of intel, like stuff I hear from college coaches and stuff I hear from high school coaches. And believe me, this is more of a compliment to Guyton, the sophomore, than any sort of dig at Elijah Griffin. But if LaDainian Guyton was a senior this year, he would still be like Georgia, Ohio State, you know, the best of the best. And then they would have there would be a real issue there figuring out like who's the number one player in the state of Georgia. I feel Guyton is that good. Now he looks more mature. He's like 6'2", 6'3", about 230 already. But to me, I mean, I'm listening to offensive coordinators tell me about him. I mean, they feel like it's 7-on-7 when those two, except you got 2 seconds instead of 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And you know, it's starting to start off as a whisper. Now it's getting a little bit louder. Some people are trying to figure out, it's a good question, who's more damaging right now? Who's tougher to deal with right now? The number one defensive tackle in the country or that LaDainian Guyton that's coming off the edge? It's the number one of the top two or three players in the country among the sophomore class. I think it's fascinating. We got two kids that good on the same defensive line. And also in this game, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Fellowship Christian has Josh Petty, the four-star offensive tackle going to Georgia Tech, who also, man, this is a whole nother show we could get into with this fellas, reported everywhere that Tech is giving him $800,000 at least per season to go play college football on the flats.
My goodness.
Really?
Yo.
Yep.
Yeah, they pulling
that's
it
like
together.
Some of that Sam Crenshaw money.
I don't know about that, man. Wow. Okay, now.
No, that's something else now. Did you get did we get some matchup of that him at tackle going against the edge guys? Did you get some of that match? That'd be some good one-on-ones now.
Yeah, we did see a few. I got a good clip. You know, Petty did decent. I mean, it's got to remember, I would have to give the judge's card here. I'd have to give most of my scores in Guyton's favor, especially because you're talking about a sophomore working on a offensive tackle, and you know Petty's not that heavy yet. He's probably still in the 260s, maybe low 270s. So he's only had like 40 pounds on him. But I mean, I'm telling you, Guyton with the ball get off, and you know his coach. I always try to find out the story on these guys, and I you know sometimes you know these head coaches are tired of talking about all those five stars. So I went and asked the defensive line coach who we classify as the Maytag repairman among defensive line coaches in the state of Georgia. And I was like, what's this guy all about? And he says, man, he compared him to Khalil Mack. So already when you got a high school sophomore, Khalil Mack compared.
Yo.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He goes, you know what he is? He's just like a big ball of arms and legs and teeth and hate and fury and power. He just looks like a Tasmanian devil coming after those guys. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow.
Savannah Christian got a great coach staff, too. And see, that's what you want. That's what the University of Georgia has, you know, what Alabama had for so long. Great coaches plus great players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you really got to have. They got some great coaches down there getting them ready. So look forward to seeing them in that new private school playoff. Mm-hmm. I think they're the favorite, you know, going into that. And be interesting to see how it plays out.
It will, folks. Been spending time with Jeff Centel. He's social.
What do you have to feel about that? I was curious to hear, like,
the private school.
I think it really benefits the Fannin counties of the world. You know, it really benefited my team at Pickens when we were really good, because you can get further in the playoffs without playing Marist or without playing whoever it was. You know, not Marist in a different bracket now, but without playing Savannah Christian.
Okay.
Prince Avenue, somebody like that. They kind of knock a team out in the second round that may have had that all-time team, that one town, the one time they got to the semifinals. I don't know that it affects who the absolute best teams always are, if that makes sense. I mean, I think a lot of times you got to that matchup of the absolute best AA team versus Prince Avenue. We wanted to see that. I hate we're not going to see that, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it does help the public school in that regard, you know, that you probably see some more teams. I know Fannin County is one that comes to mind exactly now because they've got an awesome team this year, and they're gonna make a good run, assuming you know they stay healthy, and you know, they're not gonna run up on Prince Avenue in the second round.
Yeah,
you know, and so that stuff I think makes me happy, just being honest. But I do hate you don't get that Prince Avenue versus Swainsboro, you know, like battle that you get sometimes. You know,
that's how it's stacking up, folks. Jeff, always great catching up with you. And like I said, he is social. You can find him at Jeff Centel, all lowercase. Where are you headed next week? Do you know yet?
No, I've got a couple games I'm looking at. It was interesting, all the other scores in the big bracket, you know, Buford and Douglas County tonight, and then also the Carrollton game was interesting, fellas. USC head coach Lincoln Riley was there. He actually, get this is crazy. I don't know if this has ever happened. USC had three commitments playing in a game in the state of Georgia, and the head coach was there. That's crazy.
We had him on. We had him indirectly on the show. Our guy at the game interviewed him on the show.
Interviewed him. Yep.
Yeah.
So it was great to see Coach all the way from the other side of the country.
That was awesome. He could have been anywhere. We're bragging it up. Yeah. Hey, Sam and I on Dukes and Bell took the over for the Georgia game, so we're saying Georgia's going to put it on them tomorrow. So no pressure. But we took.
I'm a little worried about that. Oh, I think the safest bet about the Georgia Kentucky game tomorrow, guys, is the under. Here's why I say this: Georgia always has a great defense. They go under. Kentucky's not really moving the ball, scoring points a lot. They go under. Georgia goes under historically a lot, and Kentucky their last four or five games they've been under. I guess the rain is not as big a factor as it was maybe on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where I think Georgia's going to show that they can run the ball against a good front. And I think that's what they're going to try and work on up in Lexington tomorrow.
I can guarantee you Jeff knows more about this than I do.
Yeah.
So if you're taking advice from me, listen to him.
Yeah. Jeff, we appreciate you spending some time with us as always, man. And hope we get to check in with you next Friday night.
Hey, man. Always my pleasure talking to you, fellas. Have a great night.
All right. That is Jeff Centel from Dog Nation. Hanging out with some of the top recruits, man. Guys look great. If you go to his Twitter page, he's got some video clips of the guys in action. Go and check it out. All right, coming up next, we got another update that's going to come in, and we're going to talk with one of the winning coaches from tonight's game. Special win as well. You stay with us here on the Scoreboard Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To more of the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. High School Scoreboard Show on this Friday night. Games have all gone final now, I believe. Most of them have all gone final. We look at some here. A couple of scores. Walker beats Heritage School. Noonan 33-0. Walker with the win in that one. We mentioned Toombs earlier. They mentioned they got a win. They're still undefeated. Beat Charlton.
56, yeah, Toombs is good.
56-18, they are good. Fitzgerald's a winner. They beat Brooks 23-13.
Yeah, been a tough game there, Fitzgerald and Brooks now.
Yep.
Some hitting down there.
Yeah, some real hitting. Some teams you're going to hear about later on in the season, too, the way they play ball down there. Derek Richmond always keeps an eye on things for us up in Forsyth County. Let's check in with him and see what game he was at tonight.
The Denmark Danes victorious for the first time all season, and it was an offensive explosion against Region 6-6 opponent Alpharetta with the final score 32-16. Denmark's QB Matthew Baird passed for 2 touchdowns. Running back Noah LeBron, who's in top 5 in Class 6A in rushing yards, stepped foot in the end zone twice. It was all Denmark start from finish. Defense made plays with 3 turnovers on downs, interception by defensive back Eric Gaskin, and not to mention an opening kickoff return in the second half by Logan Hass. The Alvarettas, they got the best field position off an interception and turned that into 6 points. And then with the big lead in the fourth quarter, both teams decided to put their second and third stringers in, and that's when Alpharetta scored their second touchdown in the game. Denmark gets their first win of the season, while Alpharetta moves on to 0-4. I'm Derek Christian, sports reporter for Forsyth County News.
All right, thanks so much.
Big win, Derek, for Denmark.
Big win for them. Yeah.
Denmark's got a good team.
They do. They do. We appreciate Derek always checking in with us from Forsyth County on Friday nights. All right, we mentioned earlier that Seckinger sent a win over Winder Barrel, and they were successful in getting the win. We got Coach. Did we get him? Okay. Coach Tony Lottie from Seckinger.
Coach Lottie.
Going to join us?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, my man.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been doing this long enough. Kind of wasn't the prettiest thing, but, you know, the saying about I'll take an ugly win any day of the week.
They're all pretty when you got more points than the other team, Coach.
That's what I'm saying. So there's definitely things that we got to fix by next week. But, you know, we're kind of in uncharted territories, and sometimes how you have to learn those lessons is you have to kind of go through them. So, but I'm really proud of my kids. They kept battling through. We got the stop at the end when we needed to get the stop. And, it's been good so far.
Fantastic win tonight, and it's great for you. And it's a game that came about through some difficult circumstances. Talk about the week now. How the week has been for you, Coach?
For me personally, it's obviously the heartbreak, and I think probably the biggest thing is the feeling of helplessness. Because when I came to Seckinger last year, you know, I brought a few of the guys from Appalachia with me that went to Appalachia with me, and then of course Mike able to get the head job, and then so Jordan and some of those guys stayed to help him. And you know, when that started to go down, my daughter happened to be on campus helping out in a different thing, and then you know, frantically texting everybody one at a time, you know, praying that I would get a text back. And I knew, obviously, because I knew the hallways, and you know, I knew kind of what was going on, and so I knew everybody that was involved in that. And it was just, you know, I'm watching the live feed, me and my administration, which they were wonderful. They knew it was kind of freaking out. And so Coach Seawright and Coach Shirley and them that were with me here, they got people to cover our classes. Didn't even ask twice, you know. And so literally I'm watching the live feed from Fox 5's helicopter, and I'm looking at faces and trying to identify people on the field like probably a lot of people were doing. And it was just, you know, to take such a horrific thing, and the feeling of helplessness of not being able to do anything to help people you love and care for dearly.
Yeah, Coach Lottie, for the people that wouldn't know what we said, Coach Lottie was the head coach at Appalachia from 2018 to 22, and obviously really close to the staff there. His staff stayed on, what he was saying. So his guys, so really been a tough week for you, Coach, I know. And how has getting back to, air quote here, normal things, how is that helping in the healing process for everyone over there?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, you know, there were so many ties, not just, and of course I knew Coach A, Coach Aspinwall, and, but I don't think people realize too that some of my kids here at Seckinger, or prior to Seckinger opening, you know, Coach A was at Mountain View. And so some of my kids on this team before Seckinger opened played for Ricky over at Mountain View. And so the ties were really tight. And, you know, like you said, a sense of normal, you know, tonight at our game, you know, Coach Rushing, who's offensive coordinator there, and his wife were, you know, like I said, we're all family. And they came to the game tonight, and one of the players who I had there, who's still a current player at Appalachia, he surprised me. He was here. And you know, when you try to find your normal again, mm-hmm. and, you know, and where's your comfort? And that's one of the things we talked about when, you know, about what football does for that. And, you know, just knowing that Mike, you know, Coach Hancock was able to get those kids and the coaches together, because, you know, as obviously it was such a horrific thing, but, you know, you're also talking about he lost a member of his staff too, his defensive yeah. coordinator, who they were close. And Chris, you guys know, we, you know, I told them after the game, because, you know, I stood out there with them just talking, and another family from Appalachia was here on top of that. And, you know, and I told them, I was like, look, sometimes, you know, God calls you and the logo on the shirt changes, but the person wearing it does not.
That's right.
And the relationships that you make, you know, are real, and, you know, no matter what. And that's the thing too, talked about too, is, you know, the coaching fraternity is so tight, especially for, I guess you'd call, you know, old people like me, and, you know, those of us that have been around a while, because, you know, you have to become each other's support system. Now, you never think in your wildest dreams with all the drills that you do that it's ever going to hit you. And I think that's the other thing too, you know, when you always, it's always some other school. Right. It's always, you know, when something like horrific like that, which God knows we pray that'll never happen again anywhere, but it's always some other school. It's never in your backyard with people you know and love and have, you know, are close with. And then to just see the heartache and things like that. But that's one of the things we talked about, just us out in the middle of the field here after everybody was gone in the stadium, was, you know, that support system. And to be honest with you, as a head coach, and Mike's the same way, you know, we're very tight, and we try to build a community within our program that is there for support when life happens, right? Yeah. So, you know, even since here, I had two kids that, you know, unfortunately I had to take them to see their other parent, where they let another parent had passed, their other parent had passed away. And, you know, life happens. And so what we try to always do is build that community where when life happens, we can rally and be that support system for each other. And that's what one of my major prayers are for everybody I love over at Appalachia, is that hopefully I did a good job, you know, when I was there, of trying to set that foundation of the community and, you know, it being an us thing, so to speak. And I know, you know, and Mike's, you know, as head coach, you know, me and him talk about it. We all talk about it. There's nothing a head coach and manual of what he's
not
dealing
about
with,
this.
Right?
Nope. Absolutely.
Not about this.
No.
And so it's one of those things that, you know, as you try to wade through it, but Mike's, you know, one of those top-notch people who has a very strong faith, and he will use that to help take the steps forward as they need to take the steps forward in the healing process. And, you know, everything's still so fresh and, obviously for them and the stages that they're going to go through. And that's one of the things that we kind of talked about together out here and out of my stadium tonight. But it's, like I said, it's, you know, I felt helpless the same way they did. And, you know, you go through the things of, gosh, should I have still been there? Is there something I could have done? And, you know, it's to me, one of the things I can tell myself is things we talk about here too. Don't try to make sense out of a senseless situation, because you're not going to get the answer there. So what you have to focus on is your faith in God. And I'm going to say, and I hope y'all don't mind me saying it, but that's one of the things that we talk about. And that's why I talked about my kids, because the way I did the logo is like that, not just another school, you know, that we put on our helmets. And, you know, there's a lot of symbolism in it that, you know, the black of the heart, you know, symbolizes the grief and things that they're feeling. And it also symbolizes darkness. And so the dove of peace, which is the white dove coming out of the logo, the way I did it, out of the black, because, you know, darkness is the absence of light. And that's the thing that we talk with our young people all the time about, is you have to be the light in the world. The world, I hate to say it for these kids, but, you know, yeah. We've got a lot of work that's got to be done in this world. And I really feel like the next generation of leaders that we're all working with is going to help fix it. But that's the thing, too, with this. And I talk to my kids about it, and I talk to them about it out here, that, you know, we need the light, and there's only one source of light, but understand there's no darkness, you know, it's just the absence of light. And so we talked through that. And, you know, like I said, it's one of those things, I think everybody just, you know, that feeling of helplessness of wanting to help them, wanting to do something, and just can't seem to ever find the right words. Yeah. So I can tell you this, as each one was texting me as we're going through, and, you know, some of the teachers that we were talking to, you know, can you please put eyes on so-and-so, and, you know, those things, and you go through that frantic. And, you know, it's what all those parents went through trying to get in touch with their kids, right?
Right.
And wives trying to get in touch, or husbands trying to get in touch with their spouses that were there, and, you know, the whole thing, and then the confusion of they wasn't even sure really 100% what was happening at the time for some of them. So, you know, it's just, like I said, the ties are tight, and what my prayer is that, you know, that God's gonna show the healing for them and help them to move forward. Yeah. And I know there's the right people there. You know, Ralph Neely, I don't know if you know this or not, but Ralph and I, he's the one that taught me into going there to begin with from West Hall. And, you know, we were together opening Union Grove back in 2000. You know, him and his wife taught both of my daughters. And so
Wow. You
just, the heartache of you know, when anytime you got people you love that are hurting and you want to fix it and you can't, and that helplessness is just, it makes it hard to grab hold of.
Yeah. Coach, we appreciate you spending some time tonight on this winning Friday night, and a great step for the young people, especially from Wine to Barrel, since they were able to come and play tonight, and big step for you, and great for you. You guys start region play next week, so good luck to you
yes.
and your team. Good luck to you and your team as you start that. And
yeah, I appreciate it. We got a heck of a region, of course. So our next three straight are pretty sporty, as we'd say in the coaching world. So
you got a pretty tough schedule coming up, Coach. But I guarantee you this. You're already going to win more games than second year's ever won in the season.
How about that?
100%. 100%. That's what I told them. We're going to keep taking steps forward. That's the idea. So, and I think that applies in a lot of situations.
Yeah, appreciate your leadership in all this, Coach. Really
we really
well,
do.
Thank you. Like I said, I, like everybody else, I wish there was something I could do that would be more.
Yeah.
So, but I think as a community and as a football family, because that's the other thing, you know, from the Atlanta Falcons, you know, what they did for them today, and I love those people. You know, I wish everybody could get to know all the people that are behind the scenes with the Atlanta Falcons, because, you know, what Mr. Blank does for high schools and communities and mm-hmm. things most people don't even realize. And so what they're doing, and then, you know, just all the other head coaches, you know, a lot of people around, I know that everybody's been reaching out to Mike, you know, hey, what do you need? And that'll continue. And then just to be there for whenever and whatever is needed.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Coach, we thank you so much for the time tonight, and congratulations to you and the Jaguars for the win and off to the 4-0 start.
Yes, sir. Thanks. I appreciate you guys, and, you know, swing by anytime. You know you're welcome here. So I'd love to see you, Chris. I don't think you've been here yet, but Mr. Crenshaw's been by. So.
Nice, beautiful.
Sam brags about the place.
It's beautiful.
I
got to
get out there.
See, it is fantastic. Coach Lottie, thanks so much again.
Yes, sir. Great to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Coach Tony Lottie up his second year, and just heartfelt, you know, to see something happen at a place where you've poured a lot of yourself into the young people and just into that community and the school in general.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I don't. Yeah. It's rare I have nothing to say, Sam. But
yeah.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
You know, great that they had a chance to play the Winder Barrel team tonight. And they're all keeping an eye and checking in on each other, especially the young folk over at Appalachia, who right now everything's suspended with them indefinitely and rightfully so. All right, folks, we're going to come up. We're going to wrap things up. Maybe we got one more guest we're going to check in with before we get out. All right, stay with us. We will wrap things up here on this Friday night here on the Scoreboard Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is the Games High School's Football Scoreboard Show.
Friday night, Under the Lights. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 1998, the 1998.com. High School Scoreboard Show, Sam and Chris, with Dom, other side of the glass. One more coach we want to check in with. Hillgrove is getting off to a great start this season. Dustin Deshaun is the coach there and joins us now.
Yeah, we got coach, right?
Coach Deshaun.
Yes, sir. How you guys doing?
It's fine. How you doing, coach?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys calling me.
Yeah, you doing better today, and you got that win, 4-0. How's it feel?
Yeah, it was first region win of the year and good win. A little uneven offensively tonight, and but got the road win, and just happy for our kids and our community, and 4-0 feels nice.
Absolutely. Coach Deshaun's a good football coach. I've known him a long time, Sammy. He comes to Hillgrove 4 years ago. It's his fourth year, and they're building the program back. Coach Slack got it. You know, Ironside had the job a long time. Coach Slack comes in for a year. Coach Sean's coming trying to build it, and they're really kind of catching some momentum now. So what's been the difference this year, Coach, so far, four games in? Where are you feeling like you're catching a little more momentum? You're kind of winning some of these games that maybe you lost a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, Chris, you know how it is. Like, when we got here 4 years ago, we had nine kids power cleaning 225. And it's been a total buy-in. It's taken some time. We've got our power clean. We've got 36 kids power cleaning 225. Yep. And you know, and I know, when you're building the program, that's where it starts. Yeah. And it's been a process. We've lost some players along the way. But everybody's stuck together. We have a true team. This senior class is stuck together. And we have some special football players. You know that when you're on a good team, we've got good players. Well, we're just in a good place right now.
They won the Mountain View game 34-28. They won the Marietta game 24-21. And I guess what I'm saying is I looked at, because I always keep up with you, Coach, and it was like those games were like opposite score. You know what I mean? Like, you guys weren't as bad as it looked at times. You just couldn't finish those games to get the win you needed to get over the hump. And so it's exciting for me to see you guys do that. But now, now, first time in a few years for you, you got the opposite problem, right? You got the burden of expectation.
Right.
They think they're good now. So what's got to improve?
Well, tonight that burden of expectation hit us a little bit. I'll be honest with you, we turned the ball over three times. And so we were a little uneven tonight. And it's just a daily process of our habits, our process and practice, and, just doing the right things daily. And, having some intensity. The Marietta game was extremely emotional last week, and we kind of guarded against it all week. Came out a little flat tonight on one side of the ball, but luckily we packed our defense, and our defense it's got three D linemen that have Power Five, Group of Five offers, and so we can always play defense. Played a really good defense tonight, and like I said, we're playing efficient offense and really good defense, and it's turning into some W's.
Coach Justin Deshaun from Hillgrove High School with us now. They get a win tonight in their first region contest. Thoughts of the thing you want to see from your team as you progress farther into this region? You guys got a challenging region.
We do, and we have to find a little bit more balance on the offensive side of the ball. And defensively, we got to stay healthy and just continue to prove on things that we do. We got a long road, guys. We got a long road. We've got six more region ball games, and we're riding some momentum right now, and we got to do better.
You got some tough teams coming up, but guess what? They got a tough team coming up too.
so
no doubt. It works both ways. And I'll tell you what travels is that D line, Sam. I say a lot of poignant things on here, Coach. So one of them is that the offensive line's not good, everybody looks bad, right? And when the offensive line's good, everybody looks good. And
no doubt about that.
You know what makes the offensive line look bad? Them Power Five D linemen. Okay?
Yes,
so you make sure those dudes get on the bus every week, you got a chance.
No doubt.
Coach, what have you learned from maybe in the last 5 or 6 years? What's really changed, or what's different about Coach Deshaun now from the guy you talked to 5 years ago?
Chris, I think you know how it is. Like, the game's ever-changing. How you communicate with your kids is ever-changing.
Yep.
The landscape of the game is changing, especially in a huge county like Cobb. One of the big things that, in my prior stop is I controlled the offensive side of the ball. Just from a game management standpoint, understanding what your defense is going through, special teams, things like that. Jump back in the saddle with the offense again this year. And so just really trying to play a complementary brand of football, understanding the game situations. I just think that's been key. And then just being a constant learner. We, at the end of last year, we made a lot of adjustments, you know, in how we wanted to run the football and play offense, and even how we were doing things in the back half in the secondary on defense. So it's just, I think it's evolving. You know, never stop trying to learn. And really the biggest piece is just communicating with your kids, having a pulse on your kids now. And, you know, just trying to run your program and fit your program to your community needs and to the identity of what kids you have.
Yep, yep. Pebble Brook is next. That's coming up for you. And, my goodness, you get that one. And then Pauling. And then Campbell, who's having a tremendous season so far this year. They ran into a tough one over McEachin. But should be interesting along the way. And we look forward to maybe circling back with you.
Sam, I'm looking at this schedule thinking – that this was not one of the teams that was complaining about travel. I mean, like, they're not going but down the street to play anybody. That part's nice, at least, Coach.
we're very close to home.
Yeah, they are. But hey, congrats on the win, my man. Great win tonight. Keep it rolling.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. Congratulations on the win. Yep, Hillgrove is off to a 4-0 start this season. But like you said, you got six more games, and they're all region games that he has remaining on his schedule.
Yeah, they've got eight teams in the region, four going to make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
There's more than four good teams in the region, four teams going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's where you start clipping them off. They beat Osborne, they got the tiebreaker over them. Next, Pelbrook, Paulding County, Campbell, McEachern, Harrison, South Cobb. You got to keep rolling.
That's
what everybody's doing, Sam. We just talking about one region right here, so we don't have time to talk about all of them. But just assume that's true in most regions. There's now about 7, 8, 9 teams in them. Four are going to make the playoffs. That's a little bit tighter than it was last year, right? When it was more like an average of 6, 7 teams in the region, four are going to make the playoffs. Now you're looking at every region just having a couple extra teams, a little bit harder to make the playoffs. So you're going to see teams like Hillgrove, Pebblebrook, Paulding County, McEachern, Harrison, Campbell, all of them are going to battle for four spots.
Wow. Wow. Like you said, chances are somebody that's really, really good, you know.
Yeah, they're staying home.
May have staying home, folks. It's been great tonight, and glad you guys have been with us. Some games, looking ahead to some of the games coming up next week on the schedule. And we got Douglas, Atlanta taking on Cedar Grove. We got Cass taking on Cedartown game next week.
That'll be a good one. Hiram beat Cass tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, they end up winning that game. So Cass lost two in a row, but they got to bounce back. Got tough. Undefeated Cedartown coming in.
Mays was a winner over Pace tonight. They have Creekside next week. You get the North.
Haven't talked about Creekside much this
year. No, we haven't.
They just hadn't lined up. They played a couple Saturday games, but it'd be exciting to talk about them. I'm still stuck on, did Centel say somebody was getting $800,000
in Georgia Tech?
$800,000.
Hey, man.
And I think he said per year. Hey. Not even once.
We'll see.
I mean, goodness. It's I don't even know. I mean, by the way, I'm just pandering with that. I have no idea if that's true or false. And absolutely none. Let me just make that clear. So if you're thinking I'm a journalist on that, I'm not.
We're amazed at the numbers.
But it is crazy to me, the business side of this, which we don't have time to talk about. But whether it's $8 or $800,000 is crazy to me. That, you know, that's what it's because, you know, ball's about ball at this age, you know, just play with your friends.
Well, kind of. No.
But it's not. No, it's not anymore. No. Not for those guys. But it is for 99% of the kids that played tonight.
And that is true.
99% of the kids that played tonight is still about ball.
Right.
And it's just so odd that those other people it didn't. And yeah.
It gets to be something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets to be something different. Folks, we've enjoyed it. Great. Hope you've enjoyed it. Been with us. If you've been with us from 7 o'clock, my goodness, you've heard a lot of great reports. Our crew was out, and tip of the cap to them for doing great work tonight. Day-Day Lewis, you know, Eric Slaughter, Garrett Chapman. We had our Cub reporters tonight from Westminster, Palmer Roth, and from Chattahoochee, Owen Kennedy was with us. My goodness, our school days guest, Jeff Saturday, with great time. Jeff Fisher came on with us. Ricky Turner from GADA came on with us tonight.
Lincoln Riley.
Yep. Coach Lincoln Riley on our show. My goodness. So we hope that you enjoyed it on this Friday night as we hit the halfway point for some schools this high school football season, Coach.
Hard to believe it goes fast. It really does. The seniors, you know, you think about it, your senior season, you build up for your whole life, and now it's halfway through.
I know.
Now you get rolling to earn that 11th chance.
You do. You do. You got to work for it. And we'll be telling you how that goes next week on the Scoreboard Show. Dom Chirosky, great work as always on the other side of the glass. Thanks for everything tonight, sir. So for Chris Parker, I'm Sam Crenshaw saying so long. I'll see you here Sunday morning from 6 to 10 with Greg Clarkson. And back here next Friday night with Chris for the High School Scoreboard Show, your High School Scoreboard Show, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.